You're listening to the Killer Bees
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Time to get the latest about the Stros with Todd Callis.
Brought to you by 4,300 journeymen and apprentices of pipe fitters Local 211.
Here's Joel and Jeremy with Todd Callis.
Now Pena gets into one. Jeremy connects on his second home run of the season. Back-to-back jacks. And the Astros have tied it up in the second inning.
Being joined now by Todd Callis, TV voice of the Houston Astros on the HR&P guest line. Today's interview with Todd is presented by Pipe Fitters Local 211. They do it right. TK, thanks for spending a few minutes on your off day in Minnesota. What have you seen from the Astros so far through seven games? Of course, the 3-4 record.
I've seen a lot of good pitching. Good to talk to you guys, as always. A lot of good pitching and some sporadic hitting to this point. I mean, the Astros went the entire homestand without more than three runs. So it's good to see them come from down 2-0 yesterday and win that game 5-2. That was a really nice way to kick off this road trip.
TK, I'm curious because we joke about it and we deal with it on a daily basis, but it seems like maybe more so than any time since maybe even since you've been with the Astros that people are hypersensitive and overreactive to whatever this team does, and if things start to go wrong because of kind of the major storylines this year with Altuve and left and Cam Smith and what to do at second base and how the rest of the outfield rounds out, people seem to magnify every little thing into a big thing. And your thought on the fact that, hey, this team could still be really good. It's just that instead of having this kind of lull in the middle of the dog days of June, it happened to start the season, and there was no reason to panic as much as people were.
Yeah, I think people have a tendency to overreact in general, whether it's been the golden, you know, offense of the 2019 team or the beautiful team of 2022. People overreact usually to what happens the first week of the season, no matter what team it is. So it's natural for 2025, without Tucker here, without Bregman here, for people to start to be maybe overly critical or over-analyzing what's happened here the first seven games. But, it is what it is. I mean, they won two out of three, and then they got swept by the Giants. And no matter how you slice it or dice it, you get swept at any point in the season. But when you get swept at home, second series of the season, people are going to start to get frustrated and maybe panic will do a little earlier than it should. But they'll be fine. They got some veterans. Well, it's good to see Brendan Rodgers and Christian Walker really contribute yesterday. They, you know, drove in four of the five runs, two new faces from last year. He's going to get going. He's drawn his share of walks, hasn't really swung it quite the way he wants to yet. He'll be fine. And then to me, Jeremy Pena is one of the X factors on this year's offense. I think Jeremy in the first 3 years was somewhere between 700 and 715 in his OPS, and I could easily see that being 800 or better this year. I think this is going to be a big year for Pena. I love the at-bats I'm seeing. So Altuve's not going to strike out five times again. Jordan's not going to start, you know, continue to go 3-for-24, whatever he is. So they'll be fine. They're just off to a little bit of a slow start.
Todd Callis joining us on the HR&P guest line. You mentioned the pitching's been really good. Hunter Brown, specifically yesterday, look, I thought coming into this year he had a chance to be a Cy Young winner in the American League, and that was before I realized he had more in the tank with the velo. Article in The Athletic that has him as one of the top five pitchers that have improved on their stuff plus since last year as well. I'm shocked that we're getting even more out of Hunter Brown so far. Two starts, way too early to certainly draw any sort of conclusions, but Hunter Brown has looked like one of the best pitchers in baseball, I think, for the last 25-ish starts that he's had, if you go back to last season.
Yeah, I'm with you. It's hard not to get too amped up about what Hunter has done, not just his first two starts, but right, going back to last year, how he finished it. ERA in baseball for his last 20 starts, all right, at least in the American League, not sure about the National League. He had the best ERA over his last 20 starts in the American League at 2.31. So when you're beating Tarik Skubal and the rest of the league in ERA over your last 20 starts, you're doing something. And then what he did yesterday, you know, a little bit of trouble in that first inning. The triple was legit, first batter of the game, but then the rest of that inning was unfortunate. He probably could have easily gotten out of there with zero or one runs allowed. And then from that point on, he just locked it down. He retired 15 of the last 16 batters. The only one that reached during that stretch was a little dribble with a broken bat by Julio Rodriguez when his bat shattered, or not Julio Rodriguez, by Byron Buxton. I'm watching the Verlander pitch against the Mariners today, so I got Julio on the mind. Byron Buxton dribbled one up the line, so that was the only guy that reached of his last 16 batters. He is a stud. I'm not afraid to say you might be right in thinking he could contend for the AL Cy Young this year.
Let's keep the momentum on the pitching side, TK, because, look, with Presley exiting and some of the different question marks that this team had, we knew that at the back end of the bullpen you had Abreu and you had Hader. But the fact that the guys that have stepped up, I mean, King to me is a guy that's really pitched well. But, you know, from the seventh inning on back to the middle relievers, they're getting a heck with the guys that are hurt now because we haven't seen Ort or Whitley. And yet the guys that Espada is able to go to now in the middle of the game seem to give a lot of people reason to be very, very pleased with the way that bullpen has kind of shaken out early on.
Yeah, I would say that's the biggest surprise and the biggest positive of the first seven games. Obviously, the hitting has been the biggest surprise side, but I think the bridge guys, if you will, the guys from the starter to the back end of the bullpen have been way better than anybody could have anticipated coming out of spring training. There were jobs to be won. You know, Luis Contreras and even Stephen Oakert. He was probably going to be on the team. He really had to pitch consistently well and was lights out in spring training. Then you talk about a guy like Ryan Gusto, who didn't even think until the last day or two that he was going to be on the roster. Brian King, you're right. He and Taylor Scott still are going to have share the seventh inning, but I thought it was interesting yesterday that Joe went with Brian King. Taylor had a decent spring training, but not great. And Brian King is and his manager. So I think you're going to see Scott get his share of seventh inning setups, and I think King's going to be in it. There's Abreu and Hader in the eighth and ninth. But, yeah, those guys in the middle have gotten it done. Talking about the Rafael Montero had a 1-2-3 inning the other day. Oakert's been lights out all spring long. So that's been one of the big positives early on for this team.
Todd Kalas joining us on the HR&P guest line. Flipping it to the offensive side, more of a global question. How many games before you can make a fair assessment on any offensive player?
I think it depends. I think if it's a veteran with a track record, and you know, you're looking at least 20 games, I would say, just to see where a person is. Give that person at least 20 to 25 games, close to 100 at bats, and see where things are. Obviously, if it's a rookie and it's his first time around, you have to make a judgment a little bit quicker because you have the opportunity to let that person go down to the minor leagues and work on things if it's not working at the big league level. So in that case, I'd say somewhere around 60 to 75 at bats, maybe 15 to 20 games. I think the veteran gets a longer leash just because of the track record. The rookie, and because of the pliability of being able to go down to the minor leagues, you might get a little shorter leash if things aren't working out well.
TK, is there any concern with, we heard Joe say coming out of spring training that the young guys weren't going to make the team if they weren't going to play? And we know that Cam's been playing a lot, but DeCenzo's a guy that kind of falls into, you know, that category of a guy. Would you rather him down in Sugar Land to get more at bats every single day? Or has he already proven himself to be a guy and he knows what he can do, they know what he can do, that he's better suited to take this role and not worry about maybe a lack of at-bats?
That's a good question. That's the guy I think that's kind of the X factor on this roster. And I think Joe's probably realizing that at age 24, you can't play Zach DeCenzo, you know, 25. You can't just get two out of every eight starts and still have, the progression that you want in his career. So that's the tough spot. You know, obviously Cam has started five of the first seven, probably will be in there again tomorrow. Zach, two first seven games getting a start. I think if it continues to play out this way, where Zach only gets maybe one or two starts a week, then you might have Dana Brown talk to Joe Espada about the possibility of giving Zach every day at bat to the minor league level. But that's, again, that's a bridge they can cross in a few weeks. But that's the one guy for me that you've asked about. That's a good question, because that's the one guy for me on the 26-man roster that's kind of a tweener between wanting to get him at bat, not letting his skills deteriorate by sitting on the bench because he is so young.
Todd Kalish joining us. A rare Friday off day. You had a rare Sunday off day at home last week. But how does one spend an off day in Minnesota? Do you have a juicy Lucy in the plans, perhaps?
Yeah, well, it's actually like 48 degrees right now, which is the warmest it's going to be the entire 4 days we're here. It's going to be about 42 tomorrow at game time. So I walked around the city a little bit, had a nice little lunch. Got a workout in. I've got dinner plans later on tonight, so we'll probably grab a good steak somewhere here in Minneapolis. Minneapolis is actually kind of a slow. I don't like it when it's this cold because you don't walk the city, obviously, as much. But it's a good little stadium, and it's a really nice city when you can walk to the ballpark. And I always love cities where the ballpark's attached to downtown. So, yeah, not my normal out and about in Minneapolis because of the weather, but still did my stuff, and I'm watching the Giants and the Mariners right now since we play the Mariners next, and JV's pitching for the Giants in their home opener today, so it's kind of a double whammy. You get to watch both sides and enjoy it.
Oh, Todd, I was going to say, I didn't know if we were done. One quick question for you, too, just to kind of put people's kind of thoughts and fears at ease, but we talked about this in the past. The most important thing for this team right now is to win series. If they can win this Minnesota series, bounce back, especially on the road, and then, like you said, go into the next series against Seattle in the division and kind of right the ship, this thing can turn around really quickly in terms of fan perspective. But from a team perspective, I think it's all still right there in front of them to do this quickly. I think people don't need to worry as much as they've been.
Yeah, it's a small sample size. We're 7 games in. When you get to 10 games in, you're 1/16th of season in, and that used to be the line of demarcation where we could say after 10 games, you're basically one NFL football game in. Now the NFL plays 17 games, so it's probably like 9 1/4. But, yeah, once you play 10 games, you're still basically the equivalent of playing one Texan game. So everybody, it's a long season. It's the team's fine. Exciting things happening with the starting rotation. It's hard not to be excited about what we've seen, as you said, out of Hunter Brown. Spencer Arrighetti, we haven't even talked about, was lights out last time. I'm excited to see what he does tomorrow. Ronel Blanco coming off a great year, and I think Hayden Wisniewski is going to be just fine in that 5 spot. And Bromberg's the guy you don't worry about at all. So, yeah, I think this is a group that's taken a little while to gel offensively. We'll see what happens. Yeah, everybody have patience. It's very, very early.
TK, we enjoyed the conversation. Enjoy the steak dinner, and we'll talk next week.
Always great talking to you guys. We'll talk to you next week back in Houston.
That sounds good to me. Todd Kalish, today's interview brought to you by Pipe Fitters Local 211. They do it right. Coming up next with the Killer Bees, I have an Astros myth bust. You know, TK kind of myth busting the 3-4 start, an equivalent to Texans game, like after you get through 10, which is accurate. I have an Astros myth bust when we come back. It is the Bees broadcasting live from River Ranch in Dayton on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Out in Dayton today, if you want your new house, there's a spot to look at. And we all know that being a homeowner comes with great responsibility and great cost. Owenwell's here to help you with both of those things. Let them take a little bit off your plate, but also save you some money. A lot of homeowners are overpaying on property taxes, and it should not be you. Head to ownwell.com, sign up in less than 3 minutes, and have their experts fighting for you. That's all it takes, just a couple minutes, and their experts are going to be on your team. Their cutting-edge technology can start saving you money with no upfront cost. There's no risk here because there's no upfront cost. You're only going to pay if you save. You can't beat that, so why wouldn't you do this? If you go over to ownwell.com, sign up now, no upfront cost. That's great. That's fantastic. The only way you're going to pay is if they can save you some money. And 86% of Ownwell's customers have received a reduction, so there's a good chance they will save you money. And the average customer of those 86% save over $1,100. Wouldn't you want that? Wouldn't you want a 4-digit payout with a comma in it? Of course you would. Head over to ownwell.com, sign up now. The deadline to protest May 15th, so do not run out of time. Save money on your property taxes with Ownwell. Sign up in less than 3 minutes and start that protest today at ownwell.com. That's ownwell.com, ownwell.com.
ESPN 97.5. The
Killer Bees are broadcasting live from inside the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, located at River Ranch, Dayton. Now back to Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
It's a You Call It Friday. You call whatever songs we play, bumping back from break. So 713-780-ESPN. You want to hear us bump back with a song, 713-780-3776. We are out at River Ranch, Dayton. Visit them online, riverranch.com. A beautiful lagoon. It's kind of a beachfront look. Swim-up bar, restaurants, that turquoise water. Homes from 250s to the low 500,000s. New industrial corridor. It's a short commute to the city of Houston. They say the average commute in the city of Houston is an hour. So you're well within that out at River Ranch in Dayton. So if you're in the market, it's a perfect spot for it. And how's the setup there today, Blankers?
It's really nice. It's unfortunate that because of the high winds and the overcast skies with the possibility of some weather that we're not at the actual Angel Lagoon. But I just think that's like one of the big selling points. They've got daycare. They've got a dog park. They're working on the pickleball court you mentioned. But the fact that, especially with a family, if you can go to this lagoon anytime you want, it's one thing to say I got a pool in my backyard. It's another thing that I've got a bar at the lagoon, and you can swim to the bar, and you've got this crystal blue water, these white sandy beaches, and you don't have to worry about having the pool guy and the bill and everything that goes with it in your backyard. That's fantastic. And then my buddy, who I've known for 30 years, is the main real estate guy here for this property, and he works with people on a daily basis. Michael Luster, he's like, if you need to get out of a lease or whatever, I don't mind working with you to pick some of that up so that you can get where you need to be for the long term. And they really believe that this area is going to be the next area that booms kind of like right on the outskirts of Houston. So we're in one of the model homes today. And the builders do a phenomenal job. It's all top of the line from the amenities and all the different things that you have within the house. But one of their selling points is you're going to get a house with a 3-car garage with plenty of space, and it's away from the hustle and bustle of Houston, but you have everything right here at your fingertips.
You wouldn't happen to be in the basement, would you?
I don't believe they have basements in these houses, Jeremy, so no.
Well, it was a Twitch joke. This Saturday, the Houston Astros and Jose Altuve take on Carlos Correa and the Minnesota Twins. We'll be airing the game right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. ESPN's pregame show starts off at 12:30 with first pitch at 1:10. 1:10, first pitch. 713-780-ESPN, HRP listener line. Ocho says, my problem with this team is it doesn't have an identity. Is it pitching and defense, speed and manufacturing, or power? Which is it? I always get tickled when people talk about identity of a team. I think this team has a very clear identity. Well, I think they have a clear identity. I think that they've talked about it. Like Joe Espada, whenever they broke camp, was like, "We're going to be pitching and defense." Like to me, that's very obviously the identity of this team is that they want to be strong on the mound, and they have the pitchers to be strong on the mound because I really like what they have up top with Fromber and Hunter. And you heard TK kind of rave around about Arrigetti, and I thought Arrigetti's stuff was nasty the other day. They have a couple of horses in the back end of their bullpen. And then a lot of what they did this offseason was build around defense. Okay, Altuve's costing us 13 runs a year. Let's move him to a position that's less premium. Let's find a better defensive second baseman. That way it saves us those runs. You lose Bregman, who's a gold glover, but Paredes is not bad at third. You brought in a 3-time gold glover at first base. I think it's very clear what their identity is.
Yeah, I think that this is a team that's good. Maybe it's a different identity than what people were expecting when they could hit the long ball from a variety of different spots in the lineup on a pretty consistent basis. But I agree with you. I just think that this team was built to be a different type of Astros team to still get the same kind of results. And pitching and defense is where it all lies. I think that you will get some pop out of Walker and Paredes, but you're losing Bregman and Tucker and some of the guys that were mainstays for like bigger numbers. But I think that they're fully capable of just winning a different way, and I think that that is their identity.
See, I disagree a little with what you said. Like, I think pitching's been their identity for quite some time. I think they've been a team that is primary. Like, and yes, they're like capable offensively, and they've probably been better offensively than they will be this year. But I think that they've hung their hat on pitching for a long time.
Maybe Maybe so. I just think that from my perspective, I think that, yeah, their pitching has always been solid and a mainstay. But I think that from how I perceive people's perception of this team, it was like that their offense was potent and they had power and they had the ability to kind of and you know, obviously what Yordan did just all by himself. But I think that Tucker and kind of quietly with the big numbers he put up, and Bregman with his bravado with the way he did it, and Altuve, and I think everybody always looked at it as that one of the most formidable offensive lineups in the American League. So, you know, regardless, I think their identity this year is a little different from that.
Yeah, I want to debunk something, a myth that is out there, because you hear a lot of people discuss this. Oh, the Astros can't hit at home. And look, they have had areas where they've, you know, they've had times where they have struggled at home. Like, there is no denying that. And you look at a couple of postseason series where they can't win a home game, Rangers in the ALCS, Nationals in the World Series. You lose every home game you play. You lose both of those series in seven. We've heard, oh, no, the batter's eye is the worst thing ever. And we've seen it even a bit this year already. After the Astros started 2-4, first six games at the Dyke, they got swept by San Francisco. They didn't score more than three runs in any of those first half a dozen games. And then they go on the road and they hang a five spot. Oh, look at that. The Astros, whenever they play away from home, or these, you know, world beating, you know, they have a great offense, all of that. So I wanted to test that theory. I wanted to go back and see how much validity and truth there is to that. So I just pulled up last year's home road splits. Pretty easy way to see if this has been something that has been continuous, right? If they hit good at home and they hit less than good on the road, then that theory doesn't really exist. Now, if they're really good away and they're not very good at home, okay, that kind of checks a box there when it comes to this theory. Maybe it validates it a little bit more. But if you look at the numbers last year, it's the opposite. They actually hit better at home last year than on the road. They had 267 as a team with a 770 OPS. Last year in away games, they hit 257 with a 713 OPS. They hit better at home by 10 batting average points, and they hit better at home by 57 OPS points. So I'm sick, and I'm not going to listen to the Astros can't hit at home theory anymore.
That's fair. I didn't realize that. I mean, obviously, people, they love to just, when things are going wrong and they're looking to point fingers and find crosshairs, they're going to jump on those things like that. I just think, for the most part, from this season's team, especially early on, the biggest thing is what we just said. It's constructed differently, offensively and defensively, and that it's going to take some time to see. You know, Christian Walker's got to settle in. Paredes is going to settle in. I feel confident in both of those guys. Yordan, for sure, is going to settle in and get back to being Yordan. I don't think that, you know, anybody expected him to start like this, but I don't think anybody's worried. So maybe Todd Callis is right, too. If Pena does finally have that kind of year, that maybe this offense really can still find a way to be, you know, one of the better offenses in the American League. But, yeah, I mean, everybody wants to talk about batter's eye and everything else that you hear being thrown out there when they're not playing well at home. But those are good numbers.
Yeah, what I mean, the Pena and stuff, like, that was kind of like a general conversation, though. Like, how does that have to do with the home road splits?
I'm not trying to get into the home road splits like that, Jeremy. I'm just saying.
But that's the whole point of the segment.
I just heard a lot of people point at the batter's eye and then start making these general comments about, you know, how this team is performing offensively, and then going back to the fact that offensively they're not good at home. I think that was, and I think you just backed it up, but it was 2 years ago when we were really scrambling with the batter's eye and all the things that they were going through. But I mean, I just think it's more so that people are they're grasping at straws to back up their argument when they say right off the top again this year that they can't hit at home and they've got problems at home.
Yeah, just debunking a theory that they can't win, they can't hit away. Texter says all that might be true, but what was their record? Well, last year at home they were better. They won 46 games at home last year. They won 42 away. And that's not like a crazy gap. Like, a lot of teams are going to have a bigger delta between home success and road success. But the Astros kind of debunked that whole, oh, because, I mean, 2023, they didn't play well at home, period. 2023, if memory serves, they had a better road record than home record. They did. At home, they were 39-42 in 2023. They were below 500. On the road in 2023, they were 51-30. Like, that's absurd. That's ridiculous. That's crazy. But last year, that flipped. Last year, they won more games at home than they did away. Last year, they hit better at home than they did away. And then you see people after the first six games, oh, no, the Astros, they struggle at home again. Like, that's now a debunked theory. The Astros last year were better at home than they were on the road. Will that carry over this year? I don't know. But I think it's more coincidence than it's anything tangible last year.
I was trying to pinpoint, and I was going to ask you guys. I'm pretty sure it was last. It was 2 years ago that the batter's eye was such a big deal. But you know, for the most part, I thought we had kind of moved on from that. But yeah,
I felt like that was like getting to kind of Jeremy's point. It feels like the whole home road thing. And Jeremy, tell me if the numbers back this up. But it felt like that home road thing was more of a 2023 conversation that people just carried into 2024 regardless of the actual results. And to dial it down even more, it felt like it was really a September 2023 thing through the end of the playoffs, because we obviously know how the Rangers series went home and road.
Changes late to the batter's eye.
Yeah, they did. And I wish I could remember the opponents, but they also had a stretch in September in 2023 where they were losing home series to teams that they were obviously much better than. And so that's kind of, to me, when the whole thing kind of took off as a conversation. And then people,
I mean, they won 12 more. They won 12 more away games in 2023. Like, that's
okay,
substantial.
So not just late then. Yeah.
No, it wasn't just like they were 51-30 in road games and 39-42 at home. So like, that is a major gap. I'm not disputing 2023 at all. And we just had a text in that they scored 391 runs at home, 462 on the road. Yeah, in 2023 it existed, but last year it did not. So, like, which carries more weight? Something that happened 2 years ago, changes have been made since then, and they were better at home than they were on the road last year. So, like, which of those carries more value? To me, 2024 carries more value than 2023. Changes have been made since then, and they've actually proven to have better home success and results since those changes have been made. So, yes, I realize that happened in 2023. I just don't think it carries nearly as much weight as what happened last year.
Oh, and that's fair, and rightly so, and the numbers back it up. So, you know, hopefully that's something that people can move on from, because now, you know, you're not only talking about the differences between those 2 years, now you're talking about, for in a lot of ways, a totally different lineup too, and you know, we'll see how that all plays into it as well. But yeah, I mean, it has been the argument forever and a day that people like to make, is that they can't hit and they can't score runs at home.
Yeah, and that was the point of the segment, like debunking the theory, debunking what I think is a myth. Yes, it existed in 2023, 100% right. It did not exist last year. Now, time will tell what exists in 2025, but I'm using 2024 to be a better predictor than 2023. Time will tell. 713-780-ESPN, HRP listener line, 713-780-3776. Coming up next, we play Brian's favorite game. Who said it? Killer Bees broadcasting live from River Ranch in Dayton on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. It's now time for super producer Brian McDonald, a.k.a. Tremac.
I'm Groot.
To do his best to stump Joel and Jeremy.
Well, I'm stumped.
It's everyone's favorite segment.
Because everyone loves it.
Yeah, everyone loves it.
I know.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
Yes.
Who said it?
He said it.
With the Killer Bees.
Those people are lying to you. Not everybody loves this game. But who said it? Brian's going to read to us five quotes that were said by ESPN 97.5 personalities. Blankers and I will team up to guess who said it. If we can get them all right, we're going to retire this stupid game. We've never done that in the history of the game, though, so that's
how
kind of working
this
against us.
Been played? This goes back to Brendan, right?
I think Brendan, this is a Brendan Riley game,
I believe.
It was
a Brendan Riley joint.
Mm. So, okay, quite a bit of history working.
I don't know why we let him make executive decisions anyways.
Well, Brendan?
Yeah. And it's just steamrolled from there. Joe, and now you.
Well, all right, can't put that genie back in the bottle. Quote number one, I don't need Altuve to be the fast receiver who can't catch a football. Hey, can he be a possession receiver in the outfield? Give me that. Be Chris Carter. I don't need you being John Ross. All he does is catch lazy fly balls is what I'm asking for.
I mean, it sounds like Lance to me, going with the football reference.
Yeah, is he trying to get you to believe that?
Although
it might be Paul, too. It might be Paul, too.
I don't know. Who were the players?
John Ross and Chris Carter.
Yeah, Paul would know them, but I feel like it's Lance.
Okay, let's go Lance.
I don't need Altuve to be
still.
The fast receiver who can't catch a football.
I never.
Segment
I guess
lives.
Yeah.
The segment lives.
I would not have expected that to be
done. We get the drama out of the way
oh,
early.
Dang, that was quick. Now all my incentive is gone. All my motive is dead.
Jeremy's going to mail in the rest of the segment.
Yep,
that's all
tram.
Angel. All right, quote number two. Hit the ball where they ain't. Whatever it takes, man. At this point, I don't want to hear about exit velos anymore. I know it's supposed to be a harbinger. If he keeps hitting the ball hard, eventually it's kind of fine grass, you know. You know what? Don't care how hard you hit them. Unless you're hitting them out of the ballpark, just find a spot for him to land where an opponent isn't at this point.
Didn't Joel say that yesterday?
Did you?
I mean, I've been harping on the fact that people are going to start getting sick and tired of Christian Walker's exit velocity.
Sure,
you know
yeah.
how he's hitting him. At
that definitely came
fall.
Up with us yesterday.
Yeah.
It was the exact thing.
The
he
man. It used to be a staple of Joe George, but using the just hit it where they ain't, man. It sounds like Granado to me.
Joe doesn't know what a harbinger means.
I was about to say
it's either Granado or Paul in my mind.
If Joe was still a Paul, Jeremy would have instantly eliminated
yeah.
him for using the word harbinger.
I don't think Granado would use that word either.
So then it's got to be Paul.
I think it's Paul or Lance, but I mean I already botched one, so your turn.
Okay.
One more time, please.
Sure. Hit the ball where they ain't. Whatever it takes, man. At this point, I don't want to hear about exit velos anymore. I know it's supposed to be a harbinger. If he keeps hitting the ball hard, eventually it's going to find grass. You know what? Don't care how hard you hit them. Unless you're hitting them out of the ballpark, just find a spot for them to land where an opponent isn't at this point.
Okay. Man. All right, I'm going to go. I'll go with Paul.
Hit the ball where they ain't. Whatever it takes, man. At this point, I don't want
to
hear about it.
Back to back. You're filthy, Brian.
Did you take all of Dell's baseball talk this week?
He talks baseball every day.
Was that all of his baseball talk? That's all he said this week?
He talks baseball every day. Sean, am I wrong? He talks baseball every day.
Yeah, to various levels of seriousness, but yeah. It comes up.
Varying levels of seriousness. It's a great line.
I think that's an accurate description, yes.
Okay. All right.
Wow.
All right. Quote number three. National League is just an amateur hour league. The National League is basically the Pacific Coast League, you know. Like, could the Sugarland Space Cowboys compete in the National League? I think so. But then again, the Astros are 0-1 against the National League at this point because their offense is struggling.
Well,
sounds like Lance.
Say. Okay.
And this was obviously after the first game against the Giants.
Does
that help you?
Oh no, that's right. It could have been the Mets as well. I don't know. It just to me that's the first. We're not doing well anyway. It's probably going to be Dell for the third straight time. But the first inclination I had was it sounded like Lance.
You need it again.
Yes, please.
National League is just an amateur hour league. The National League is basically the Pacific Coast League, you know. Like, could the Sugarland Space Cowboys compete in the National League? I think so. But then again, the Astros are 0-1 against the National League at this point because their offense is struggling.
Are you out, Jeremy?
Yeah, I don't care.
Okay. I hear Lance. I'm going to say Lance Erlein.
National League's just an amateur hour league. The National League is basically the Pacific Coast. Yeah. You know, like
that's a pretty good tell. Yeah, that's a pretty good tell there.
Well, there was a tell in there because he said they were 0-1 against the National League when they were 0-4.
Oh, well, we didn't know when it was.
Yeah, we didn't know when it was. I was trying to guess when it was.
You said it was the day after the Giants game, and I said yes.
Oh, I didn't hear you say that. I thought you were thinking about it.
So,
but he also corrected himself, and you didn't say anything. Blankers did. Blankers also
did
corrected him.
Okay.
Yeah, he did, and you didn't say anything. So you did throw him under the bus.
Okay. Well, regardless, here we are. All right.
You remember that, Blankers? Because you said they're 0-1,
yes,
but then
yes,
go, oh,
right.
Yeah, but they played
right.
The Mets. So, and then Brian didn't say a peep. So don't say
right.
That you helped him when you
did
not.
It's not my job to give it away. It's not my job.
Like, I don't care about the game, but I care about justice.
Oh, this is about justice now, is it?
Yes.
0-3. Quote 4. I could understand that. Krispy Kreme sucks. I mean, Shipley's, I think Shipley's is a little overrated, don't get me wrong.
Ooh.
I like more variants with my donut flavors, I really like cake donuts, but Teetzero, still. Got to bring in the Shipley's, big dog.
Why didn't we use this yesterday for Bad Take Boulevard? Shipley's is slightly overrated, and they like cake donuts?
That's what this
person said.
Cake
donuts are good, man.
Maybe it was
They're not as good as Shipley's.
I'm not. I
the Shipley's
prefer,
has cake donuts.
My kids even like cake donuts. I like cake donuts.
I've been hearing a lot of Shipley's slander lately, and it really irritates me. I'm being dead serious. Like, I've heard people say they have this take Shipley's. With Shipley's. No, Shipley's is great. Shipley's original glazed donut. Yes, please. Nothing better. Fantastic. Way to go. I'm sick and tired of Shipley's slander.
There's some passion there.
Yeah, there was some passion. Yeah.
It irritates me.
I was going to let it go.
Oh, Brian
love
disagrees.
Shipley's glazed donuts.
Shipley's glazed donuts fine, but this is it would not be my first choice at all.
We've already ruined Brian's credibility when it comes to food takes. So him saying that he disagrees means absolutely nothing to me.
What did we ruin my food takes?
I don't remember, but I remember it's a thought that I have. I don't remember the specific issue, but over time. Over time,
because I know
continuing to push
glazed donuts by themselves, I think, are overrated. Tacos, they suck. If I'm going to the donut shop, I'm getting something better than that.
You need
glazed
the quote
donuts,
one more time.
Yes, please. Give me the quote.
All right, quote one more time. I could understand that. Krispy Kreme sucks. I mean, Shipley's. I think Shipley's is a little overrated. Don't get me wrong. I like more variants with my donut flavors. I really like cake donuts, but teach their own. Still, got to bring a Shipley's, big dog.
Who sounds like a Lance one to me.
Yeah, I think so too.
Plus, Lance strikes me as a cake donut connoisseur.
I thought the same thing. I think we'll agree on Lance and live with it.
I can understand that. Krispy Kreme sucks.
Yeah.
Of course it's Paul. This is a Yankee take.
Overrated.
This is a Yankee take. I should have known that.
The big dog. I guess Paul might. Yeah, Paul is the big dog user.
All right.
Avoid being skunked.
If we
avoid
get all of skunks. Them wrong, can we end this game?
No, because then you could just we'd end it. You could just totally throw it.
I don't think that would help us, though.
Okay, well, I don't know.
I don't think us deliberately getting them wrong would be of any of assistance.
Yeah, maybe not. Maybe not. All right, quote number five. I will say because it's a part of this conversation. Someone gets corrected in the middle of this quote, so that'll kind of make sense once you hear the full quote. All right, quote number five: Blanco and Wisniewski are gonna test your bullpen more than likely, and so your bullpen is gonna end up putting up a lot of innings. Wisniewski, it won't matter probably in 3 weeks, but once Lance McCullers gets back. So the person gets corrected on the pronunciation of Wisniewski.
That sounds like Granato to me. Because this is a ball knower. It could be Lance, but like this is a ball knower because they're talking about the domino effect of Blanco and Wisniewski not going deep into games. So, like that takes a little bit of baseball sophistication. Not a lot, but a little. A little bit of baseball sophistication.
Okay.
You think it's Lance because he botched the name, or?
But I don't think Lance knows ball as much as John.
Yeah, but I think Lance knows the amount of, like, a starter not going deep into games will tax the, the lower leverage bullpen guys. You think Lance would botch the name more than Granato?
I do.
I do too.
I don't know how up to speed on Wisniewski Lance is.
Yeah. Plus he's been busy, Lance.
Right, that's what I'm saying.
He has like an excuse to not know the Astros starting pitcher names.
Let's go for it. Lance
All
or
right.
one.
Let's do it.
Blanco and Wisniewski are going
to... Victory!
They're going to test
moral victory. We got one. Wisniewski. He says
Wisniewski.
Yeah, he says
funny.
Wisniewski, and then yes. John corrects him for Wisniewski.
Wisniewski's probably a right guard at Minnesota.
and John would know the a Midwest name like Wisniewski.
He's got a fifth or sixth round grade.
Pass blocking's good. Run blocking needs work.
Hand placement is a little needs a little work, but he's got a good base and he can anchor in.
So did we win or what?
I mean, if 1-4 is winning,
not even close.
All right, it's over. Thank goodness.
You are Astros hitting a home in this one.
Oh, texture says Lance looks like a cream filled kind of guy.
I don't know what that's supposed to mean.
I don't think that's a compliment.
Come on, I don't know if I should have said it on air.
Are they calling Lance fat?
Maybe more. At least fat, but maybe more.
Something. Yeah, maybe more.
Love Shipley Donuts. will always be H-Town Harris of Shipley. The heiress. The heiress of Shipley came in multiple times, and she was rude and vulgar, and she was banned. Never really changing my opinion on the brand, though. I didn't know they had an heiress.
I didn't know. Either.
I don't know the upper ups of Shipley's. I just know their glazed donuts are fantastic. All right, 713-780-ESPN. Remember, today's a You Call It Friday. We're allowing you, against our better judgment, we're allowing you, the listener, to pick our rejoin music. So 713-780-3776 if you want to participate in that. There were the most popular story in the Houston Chronicle today. Yeah, I'm still a Houston Chronicle guy, but I do it digitally. Did you know it's coyote season in Houston? What? How come we didn't know it's coyote season in Houston? What is this all about? It is the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
ESPN 97.5. You're back with the Killer Bees
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, located at River Ranch, Dayton.
Up from there's no one better than George Strait. I love George Strait. Who's your favorite country artist, Blinkers?
Just what I've got. Man, I don't know. I've always been a Tim McGraw fan. And Garth.
Garth is
Tim
real good.
McGraw and Garth. Shania, yeah, for sure.
You love her music, huh?
She's a strong, independent, talented woman.
I don't mind a lot of her songs, and all of them are the mainstream ones, but I think Shania is very, very good.
Yeah. I love me some George Strait. My wife's more of a Garth Brooks. Garth's from Oklahoma. My wife's from Oklahoma. And I go George because George's from Texas. But you can't go wrong with either one. 713-780-ESPN. Killer Bees broadcasting live from River Ranch, Dayton. Visit them online, riverranch.com. They got the lagoon, the swim-up bar, the sandy beaches, the beautiful turquoise water. Homes from the 250s to low 500s. Three-car garages on most of their houses, maybe all their houses. And as you mentioned, willing to work with you as well. What was his name again? I forgot his name.
Michael Lester.
That's it.
He just left us here at the model home. So Brian was thinking about trashing the place, but it's he's great as a realtor to do kind of like the above and beyond stuff.
Yeah. I'm sad I'm not out there. Texter says Shipley's on North Main, best glazed donuts out there. Nothing compares. Agreed. Philip 68, aren't glazed donuts 1,000 times better, fresh and warm? Yeah.
For sure.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yes.
Texter says, now this is a banger. It's a You Call It Friday. We didn't pick that song. That came from a Texter. I think it was because they were making fun of me earlier for saying, I mispronounced San Antonio somehow. Maybe I got lazy with it. I don't know. But, yeah, so you call it. You guys are picking the music for every Friday from now on. 713-780-3776. Texter says, this is a banger. Absolutely, it's a banger. Texter says Luke Combs is his favorite country singer. I almost said Texas country, but he's not a Texas country kind of guy. That's all like Corey Morrow, Pat Green. Like, those are more – although Pat Green sold out, went to Nashville. I'm not huge on the new country, so same. I'm more of an old school guy.
Yeah, there's only Beyonce. Really one newish artist. I mean, he's not super new, but I like Chris Stapleton. But for
you're
other than that,
Morgan Wallen guy?
No.
Morgan Whalen?
The guy that walked off on the SNL set.
Did he?
Yeah.
I don't know. I didn't see it.
He did.
No, but Stapleton's really the only one of the like current guys I like, but mostly I go back to Outlaw Country with Whalen and Willie. And
Shaboozy?
I like Shaboozy.
He's not bad.
He's got that one song. Bad. Got one song.
Got two.
I don't know any of his others.
Tipsy and Good News.
Yeah, Good News is a good song, too.
I'm not sure I've heard Good News.
He played it on SNL.
You played it as a bumper to get in my head.
I played Tipsy on for you.
Yeah, he played Tipsy.
Okay.
Yeah, I played Tipsy.
I'll have to listen to Good News, see if I've heard it before. I'm not very good at remembering
it. It kind of sounds very similar to his first song, but yes.
Oh, does it?
Yes.
Texter says Beyonce is the greatest country singer of all time. Best album ever. That's debatable.
Sucks. And the collab with Miley Cyrus sucks.
You didn't think it was good?
I didn't think it
was
good at all.
You didn't like her country album at all?
Not at all. Huh. And she's very talented.
I thought her performance during the Texans halftime was pretty good.
Yeah, that was pretty good.
I'm not a fan of the album at all.
Toby Keith. I do love Toby Keith. Toby Keith is really good. I wouldn't put him in the George Strait tier, but I like Toby. Texture donut holes are the best. What do you stand on donut holes?
They're good. They're good. My daughters love them. Oh, my God. My youngest just wants the bag of donut holes. They have a kid-sized bag of donut holes.
Jeremy's going to mock me after I say this, but I don't care. I would rather have the Shipley's donut holes than their glazed donuts.
Ooh.
I like donut holes.
Okay. I thought you might kill me for that one, but I it's just easier to eat, so especially if you're in the car. So, yeah.
Donut holes remind me in the Midwest they had crawlers.
I've heard of it. I couldn't tell you what it was.
Yeah, and donut holes remind me of crawlers back in the Midwest that are really, really good.
Roger Kreger was great drinking music in high school. You were drinking back then in high school, huh?
Pat Green used to be
how
big
naughty
back
of you
in those days.
I mentioned Pat.
Yeah, Hill Country guy.
Yeah, Pat Green was big, especially around here.
Until he sold out, like Jeremy said, went to Nashville.
I'm disappointed you weren't listening to me, Blankers.
Huh?
I'm disappointed you weren't listening to me.
Listen to you on what, Pat Green?
Yeah. I had a diatribe about Pat Green.
Well, a lot of times, I'm sure you, and I'm sure I know you do it, it's the same thing. But, a lot of times when you're on your diatribe, I just let you go and focus on
you
other
check
things.
Out, wait for it to be over.
Just check in on the internet, see what's going on the text line or other things.
Sounds like
let them go.
Like if the wife is yelling at you, just wait
exactly.
For
exactly. At a certain point, you just go, yeah, okay. Well,
just wait for
we'll
the
bring
noise,
it back in.
Wait for the noise to stop. And then you
I have a hard time believing that. Texture gives Zach Topp a try. He's bringing back old country. I actually did listen to a few of the Zach Topp songs. Brian played him as a rejoin one day because he was playing
at the
rodeo. And I kind of looked into him a little bit, and I did hear a few of his songs. I did like him. I'm not sure I'm going to buy his album or anything like that. But
was it Kane Brown?
He's a country artist.
Yeah, Kane Brown's really popular. I've heard some of his stuff that's not bad.
You like him?
Yeah, he's
How do you feel about Jelly Roll?
Jelly Roll's not bad either. I mean, it's like getting Post Malone into country music is kind of weird. I just didn't see him getting into that genre. And Jelly Roll, you look at him, you wouldn't think he's a country artist, but some of his songs are pretty good.
I actually like Jelly Roll. I think he's very talented. I'm a big fan of Post Malone. I like Post Malone a lot. Todd,
the show,
Toby. A lot
of versatility that Post
Malone.
Yeah,
really
did you see him on the SNL anniversary concert where he played with Nirvana?
I did not.
That was really he served as basically the Kurt Cobain fill-in, and they sang "Smells Like Teen Spirit." It was really good.
Huh?
Didn't know. Man, Joel is not laughing on the Twitch or the Twitch chat. Is he's poo-pooing everything? Said donut holes are for kids. Jelly roll is booty.
I thought he was actually specifically talking to me. I didn't realize where he was going there.
No,
I guess the donut holes.
Yeah, Joel's
more
not
my
laughing.
T-
you're right.
More my take,
Joel's
yeah.
not laughing. You know what? Joel's not laughing. It's a Friday. I'm feeling good. I'm not down for this negativity. Catch this timeout. Pew 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 pew.
I love it.
Thank you for the finger
that
gun.
Was fantastic.
There,
yeah, with the pew pew and the sound effects.
That's a fine from Adam Silvercomb.
Stoney LaRue, Whiskey Myers. I do like a little Whiskey Myers. I'm not a fan of donut holes. Is that weird? What popular food that you guys dislike? 713-780-ESPN. I'm going to think about that and get back to you on the other side. 713-780-3776. Popular foods that you dislike, and what's the deal with coyote season in Houston, huh? 713-780-3776. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Hey, right now I want to tell you about the place that we're at now and the fact that my good friend Michael Luster is the best real estate guy that I know, especially out in this area. They're fantastic, and he is the headlining guy in real estate when it comes to River Ranch Dayton. It's a fantastic new community, 16 new model homes, pricing from the 250s to the 500s, featuring the top builders. And the fantastic way that Michael works with you is he's going to make sure that he helps you with low interest rates, closing cost assistance, getting out of your lease or your previous real estate issue so that you can get into a house out here. And then once you get out here, the fact is you get away from the hustle and bustle of the city of Houston, Texas. Not too far away, but just far enough where you can enjoy the quiet, more country lifestyle of having a really nice house with a 3-car garage and your own lagoon to work with for you and your neighbors. I'm not kidding. This Angel Lagoon is absolutely intense. It's fantastic. It's really crystal blue waters, white sandy beaches, a swim-up bar. They take care of everything for you because they don't want you to leave. That means you can relax being in your own home area and not having to drive all over the place and all over the city to get to things. That means that there's pickleball courts, there's a daycare facility, workout facility, and the lagoon itself, and so much more. It's all fantastic right here at your fingertips. You got to check it out. And you got to call my man Michael Luster because he's going to help you out no matter where you are. You can reach him at 870-754-9164. 870-754-9164. And check out the community out here. Just go to RiverRanchDayton.com.
The best in Houston sports talk is ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.